Ho ho ho.
Merry Christmas.
Hello everyone, it's the season of cheer. I hope you're as happy as we are in the cave.
Yes, we're here in the Burns Cave for another in the exciting 12 dubs of Christmas.
Indeed, Christmas time is a time for giving and cheering, as we all know, and also for getting lovely presents. And one of the great British traditions is to receive an annual. What is a Christmas annual, Andy?
Well, Christmas annual nowadays is a slightly tawdry and hollow experience.
Yes.
But in our youth, what would happen is you would get maybe one or two, sometimes more, annuals depending on what your tastes were. But like us, you were into sort of comics and cartoons and the like. There was a plethora of them on the shelves. And while they varied in quality, there was quite often a lot put into them. They weren't just cash-ins or reprints or, yeah, as with modern ones, just lots of publicity photos from press kits with poor copy.
Back in my day. I mean, the only thing that modern annuals share with a lot of annuals of the good times is that the format roughly is the same. It's usually a hardback. Thank you. Hardback, quite sturdy, well-made book. Hit it again. Thank you. Usually around 64 pages or more. You're stroking it. Excellent. X-rated already.
Or more if for the likes of the DC Thompson and IPC, because
you still get the odd decent one from time to time, but often you find they're not called annuals. Like when Panini were doing the Doctor Who ones, where they had to call them story books or big book or brilliant book until they finally gave up. They were very good. So Andy, in his hands, holds the Transformers annual from the space year,
Christmas 1985.
Indeed, back when Transformers was a young and exciting new thing. Now, again, just to explain, I suppose, for any American listeners, this type of annual differs quite a bit from comic annuals that you may be familiar with, which was like an oversized bumper edition of your favourite comic, but still published in that format and that size. These were often seen as very much a deluxe version of, for instance, in the case of Transformers, your regular weekly or fortnightly comic. And one of the mind-blowing things about this annual at the time was that it was in full colour. That's right, full colour, just about. Other than the bits that you had to colour in yourself, of course, which is part of the choice of the annual. But again, that was part of the deluxe feel to it, and the feeling that you were getting something really special. You'd also have paper stock, which was vastly superior to often the poorer quality stock that you got in your weekly comics. And even if you were a normal person and not like me and didn't get excited about paper stocks, that's right, I got excited about paper stocks even as a child, you could still feel. You just get the feeling of it's a bit more special, it's a bit more nice. But what is it about this particular annual that makes it so good to this day?
Oh, it's probably this, I should point out, is not the actual annual I owned back in the day. Because I acquired this later on through eBay. Because my annual was read to death till it fell apart to the point that it couldn't be saved.
Aww.
This was probably my favourite Christmas present I've actually ever had. Now, in the space year 1985, the hottest toy was Optimus Prime. I didn't get him on Christmas because they ran out. I've told the Red Horn story.
I was about to say, are we getting the Red Horn story?
No, because this is about celebrating Joyce.
It's like the iPad story in Doctor Who. It just always has to come out.
But as a child, I was quite inquisitive, and I would kind of, from an early age, I would climb up and dismantle the Christmas tree from the top down.
Indeed.
So I would go looking for things, and near Christmas time, because I knew I was going to be getting this, I started to look around the house to find it. And I found it. And there was one night of the week where I was kind of, we lived in an army base, so I could kind of get left on my own for short periods of time. So if Dad was working, and my sisters were at the Brownies, whatever it was back, and Mum would be with them, so I was just kind of left in the house for half an hour. And so for about, I think, 8 weeks up until Christmas, that was my go climb up the shelving, pull down the annual, read it, and put it back. Once a week, every week, till Christmas. And on Christmas Day, when I got the annual, I feigned that I didn't know I had it, until my mother kindly pointed out she could see that there was the seams on the annual from having been read. And I still read it several times that day. Just because it's, for that alone, that was kind of, it's always stuck with me.
Aww.
And just because it actually has one of the very high points of Furman's early Transformers work in the story and There Shall Come a Leader, even though it was printed in the wrong order.
Yes, I've actually taken great delight to people over the years who never noticed that the first two pages were out of order. and in fact I've had raging arguments with people at conventions about this. Sometimes quite well-read people who just say, no, you're wrong. I say, no, the clue is that the title is at the top of the second page and the way that the text runs straight on. And narratively, thankfully, And There Shall Come a Leader was finally printed in the correct order in one of the very late Marvel UK Transformer specials.
But the thing is, it actually still works. It
does. Bizarrely enough, yes. It just about gets away with it. But it is actually, regardless of the debatable order of the first two pages, it is actually one of the great classic early Transformers comic tales. It still holds up very well to this day. And indeed, along with State Games and the following year's annual, it's probably been mined, consciously and unconsciously, more than pretty much any Transformers fiction that wasn't in the cartoon of that time.
Because it's the one where, obviously for people who weren't aware, is Bobby Dianski was the lead writer on the US comic, and because the Marvel comic was fortnightly and then weekly in the UK, the inventory of US stories would be burned up very, very quickly. So UK stories were slotted in between reasonable gaps of the narrative, and often had to kind of mine obscure bits of the continuity or side stories that didn't interfere or derail the main book class, which is why when the movie came out, Furman embraced all those characters, because he basically, Budiansky wasn't interested in telling any stories about them in the US comic. So he had free rein to go and expand and explore, which is kind of why all the Galvatron tales, Ultra Magnus, they're his character, really. So this is the first time that he's giving us a bit of backstory on Cybertron, which, aside from issue one, we hadn't seen.
No.
Again, in the comic. It was talked about by the characters, but never really shown.
Again, one of the things that, to put it into context at the time, it differs it from people who may be more familiar or who grew up with the cartoon, where they were zipping back to Cybertron as if it was a local Asda, or Walmart, if you prefer, is that Cybertron was spoken about. You didn't really see it. So this is one of your few glimpses into it, until they did eventually do the Return to Cybertron story, which is still incredibly exciting,
yes,
because of the way they held back and back and back as to what it was. And to be honest, it's something I think that a lot of modern Transformers media could hold on to. Whatever the next inevitably gets rebooted in whatever format, holding back on things like Cybertron is actually a good idea.
Gives them a bit of impact when they come. So, and this is where Furman's first major contribution to the mythos is, and it's the debut of Emmett Exaron and General Trachon.
Hey.
Rosaron obviously would be the first of Furman's characters to jump to the US comic in a kind of very slyly, just in the background, really, in the Pretender story, Pretender classic story, and then it becomes a bit more prominent as it goes along.
And it's recently been revived in the James Roberts version of Transformers.
Yes. So this is basically the Autobots. It's early into the war, the Decepticons are basically cutting a swathe, Iacon's all that's really the last stronghold. The Autobots are under the command of a High Council, Prime isn't in charge, and it's about the Zaron convincing the Council to cede control of the army to Optimus Prime so he can lead it without having to get approval. And it has basically Prime opposing Megatron.
Yep.
And it's one of
which
the
again is something that you didn't see in the comic very often.
No, and it's one of the few times where they actually do go one-on-one, and it's quite brief, and Prime is beaten.
It's true.
Prime does actually, Megatron just owns him with a fusion cannon.
He gets his ass handed to him.
But because that was a distraction ploy, they were looking at basically tricking them and blowing up the main walkway to Iacon and taking most of the Decepticons.
Yes.
It's the art's by John Stokes, a very good UK artist, and it's a strange mix of toy reference and quite faithful to some of the Frank Springer work from the early issues, including some characters which are actually outright copied from that.
Like the chap on the title page beside Optimus Prime there.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's another strip story, which is Plague of the Insecticons, which has Optimus, Prowl and Warpath trying to broker a peace treaty with the United States government.
Featuring Ronald Reagan.
Yep. But thanks to the efforts of Ravage and the Insecticons, it's undermined. So you got 30 pages of strip in this.
And both of the strips were also published in a special. It wasn't one of the regular specials. I remember getting it from the supermarkets. And it had a name. I can't remember what the name was just now. But that's how I first read them, because I didn't get to read this annual until a couple of years later.
because I just called Plague of Insecticons. Plague of Insecticons. I just had the same cover.
Yeah, had the same cover. So even so, I did get to read this annual, but I don't think I got to see it until after the 86 one. I think I got it on a jumbo sale. But it means that the two strips and the cover, which is in that Plague of Insecticons reprint, are burned into my brain, because I remember getting that reprint as a special present. And reading it over and over and over again and staring at the cover image, which is a very evocative cover image. And to be honest, it goes to prove that actually, if you know what you're doing, you can actually do toy-based illustrations of Transformers that have just as much weight and coolness, to be honest, than any other interpretation.
John, done by John Higgins, who most people will be aware of as the colourist of Watchmen.
Yep.
And me, it's more as George Dreadwork.
Indeed.
The remainder of the annual is taken up by some tech stories, which, to be perfectly honest, don't hold up to any substantial examination. They are kind of spotlighting characters and toys.
Yeah.
So Trax, who was out in the UK, and the other one has the Jumpstarters.
Yeah. But again, they're well illustrated. Yep. They're well written for children's fiction, and they're fun. They're fun. They're not the most memorable or the best, but they're perfectly decent.
And the rest of the annual has activity pages from some of the US Marvel Transformers activity books.
Now, obviously, we're telling you to go and get this if you haven't read it before. You can get it on eBay or Comic Marts for, to be honest, if you're paying more than £1, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it's not a rare book. Due to the way it's made, most copies are actually in quite good nick.
Yeah.
So you can get it quite easily. Alternatively, you can get was it Transformers Classics UK Volume 1 from IDW, edited by the aforementioned James Roberts, which includes the annual reprinted in its entirety,
yes,
along with many other early tales. So that might be maybe a bit for you if you've not read any of the UK stuff at all.
And it's also available digitally via iBooks and Comixology.
Indeed. So frankly, really, you could literally get it 5 seconds from now. Obviously, well, if you have enough funds in your bank account. And but basically, yeah, you can get it like now.
It's also notable for, in issue one of the US comic, when the Transformers are revived, the Autobots had a double page spread where it basically introduced to every character and they got to give you a soundbite. Now, this was held back from the UK comic.
Indeed.
And it made its debut in the annual.
Yes.
So the couple pages give you, for the first one, the Decepticons uses the Toy Box artwork for some of the notable Decepticons.
And even back in the time, actually, to put it in the context, actually having printed good quality, full size reproductions of the box art of any of them was always a nice thing to see.
Yep.
Even though they featured a lot in things like jotters and stationery sets and all that, to actually have them in a book and be able to look at them and stare at them and go, it's fantastic.
But they reprint the Autobot one, which is, although it's been re-lettered, I think probably just,
yeah, it's been retyped for clarity.
Yep.
But again, it holds a great deal of nostalgia. People, not that version of it, because I'd first read it in the Collected Comics issue 1 when I saw that page spread. But it's still very good.
Yep. But it's more for, and there shall come a leader, as I said, these are, that, as Ralph said, that and State Games cast quite a long shadow over the Transformers history.
And while you've got your traditional puzzles and games, there's enough of them to keep you amused, but not too much to take up valuable space.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, is what a children's annual should do. There should always be a few wee puzzles and games, but just a smattering of them.
And it also has the, you can write where your book belongs. And the thing about UK annuals is that you'll find, if you're buying them, is the first page inside will have the cover, bottom right hand corner will be missing.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for that is because that's where the prices were kept.
And often these were snipped by adults because they were often given as gifts.
Yes.
And again, it shows the price in this one, it was £3.25. Now, again, just to highlight what I was saying earlier about the deluxe nature of it and the fact that these were often given as gifts and out with of children's pocket money, the comic at the time would have been, what, £27?
30, I think, at this point.
30 by that point, yeah, it started at 27 up to 30. So while that was within the reach of pocket money, £3.25 is quite a quantum jump. But the thing as well is, you, as an adult, if you were buying it, or if you were lucky enough to get some money from a relative or save up your pocket money, if you're buying an annual, you were really getting your money's worth.
Yep. So, and it holds up to rereading.
Yeah, I don't think it's the best of the Transformers annuals. For me, the best one is the second one, the 1986 one. But it's certainly one of the top tier ones. And the fact that I can still sit down and read it either in the original annual format or via the reprint of it, and still actually genuinely enjoy it, not just out of nostalgia. I think it's pretty damn good for a throwaway toy time of almost 30 years old.
It's the thing that you can argue that there is obviously going to be some nostalgia-tinted view for us, but if you were to put this side-by-side with any licensed annual at the moment, I would say this is head and shoulders above any of them.
Yeah, I think you could actually give this to any child who's interested in Transformers, and they'd probably get something out of it. They might need a wee bit of help to explain why Optimus Prime looks different from maybe Transformers Prime or the movies or whatever. Yeah. But I think, to be honest, most kids could still quite enjoy this if they like robots.
Yeah, but it's back from an age where original content was put in again because there was money to be made from it, so they didn't actually balk at putting
money into it.
And because there was the sheer amount of annuals out there competing for space, you couldn't just chuck crap out. There was no tolerance of it. Unlike now, where
as I said, there are some gems, but at the moment this year, I think the only real gem is the official annual of the Saturdays.
It's true.
The Fabulous Pops Trumpets. The annual is now down to £2 in Sainsbury's. Interesting fact files, illustrations, learn about how the girls think about life as well as the music. And there you go.
Yes. There is actually reading in that one.
It's true, there is actually about reading material. Strange words, perhaps, but there are actually words.
Yes, unlike, say, the Doctor Who annual.
Don't start me on the Doctor Who annual.
It's painful. So we're going to leave you now as we spiral into despair, looking back on when we were young and things were better and all this was just fields.
I was back when I used to be able to go swimming and I didn't get like a sore neck afterwards. Goodbye.
Very well.